All right, guys. Well, we're going to continue to talk a little bit more about evangelism. And my what I feel like the Lord wants to talk about today is how the prophetic can be used tremendously in evangelism. And actually, like, the prophetic and evangelism go hand in hand. You can do it without the prophetic, but you won't see as strong or as like positive results of actually reaching out unless you're really hearing what he's saying and doing what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? So let's turn real quick to, I'm going to give you guys a bunch of Bible this morning. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. All right. It says, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." So just as Jesus walked around the earth and God the Father in him was reconciling the world to himself, this scripture is saying that, like, we are in the same model doing the same thing. Just as Jesus did it, we have Jesus inside of us reaching out, reconciling the world to himself. That's his heart. You know that? Like, I mean, and a lot of times, you know, when you kind of go out and you're evangelizing or you're just reaching out just in general, like, I kind of like turn and I kind of turn to the scripture. I'm like, "Lord, you are inside of me. You are, and you're calling, you're actually reaching for these people. You're actually like," and it like sensing, and it helps me to get a sense of his love for the people and helps me to get a sense of like the mission that he's called us to do. You know, otherwise, I mean, when we got saved, I mean, we'd be like, God just like take us out and we'd be up in heaven. No, but God's got a plan for us to bring and to populate heaven, right? This is kind of like core scripture, I believe, for our evangelism goal and model and vision. It's like we have Jesus living inside of us, and he's like reaching out by the power of the Holy Spirit to reconcile all the people that God's planted around you, wherever your work is, wherever your school is, wherever you're planted geographically. The way God wants to do this, you know, Jesus is the perfect model of this, and he wants us to follow this same model. You know, Jesus, when he was walking around on earth, he wasn't just like Superman. You know, he was like, he was God in flesh, but he was also a man operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 2, it says that he did not operate really in his deity. He operated as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit for this reason, to be a model to us. You know, Jesus is the perfect model. It's something that is possible for us to walk in. Just as Jesus walked, it is possible for us to walk in the same capacity. He was showing us how it's done. So in this relationship with the Lord, let's turn to John 5, 19. Let's see how Jesus walked with the Father. Let's see how he walked as a man, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. So John 5, 19 says, "Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel.'" Okay. So, and we've talked about this before. When Jesus was walking around on the earth as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit, still God, but denying the deity, you know, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, listening to the Father. He had this ongoing dialogue with the Father as he was walking this earth. He was constantly talking with the Father. He was constantly in prayers, like praying without ceasing, basically. And it's not like he was like hidden away for hours at a time in his prayer closet for, you know, 10 hours of the day and he came out for a couple hours. No, he did go off and pray, and sometimes all night. He was a man of prayer, obviously. But like, I believe he was getting his mission during those times of prayer. But as he was walking around, he was also in that constant dialogue with the Father. And we're called to do the same thing. We actually have access to this. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. We can be walking in fellowship with the Father all day long, every day. That's the message of the cross, that we can now have this type of intimate relationship with God the Father. And this is how we, this is where we minister from. This is where effective, healthy, real ministry takes place. An intimate relationship with the Father. Because that's how Jesus did it, right? It is very simple. John 12:49 says, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." So he's constantly talking with the Lord. What do you want to say? What is on your heart? What are you doing right now? Because I want to do exactly what you're doing, Father. That's how Jesus was operating in relationship with the Father. And as he stepped out and spoke or operated or did what he saw the Father doing, the Holy Spirit would come and empower that work. And we read all the crazy things that Jesus did. Does that make sense? John 12:49. And I want to go back here. This is the encouraging part of this. Because a lot of times we kind of like, man, it just seems when we think about what Jesus did, it just seems so unattainable, so impossible. You know, does anybody else feel like that sometimes? It's like, man, Jesus, you were perfect. Of course, you were God. Of course, you did all these things. How do you expect us to do the same thing? You know what I mean? I mean, really. But we are all called and invited to walk in this same power, in this same intimate relationship that Jesus had with the Father because of the cross. So here's the key right here. Coming back to John 5:19, this is 5:20. It says, "For the Father loves the Son, and he shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel." That's key right there. For the Father loves the Son. So the Father is showing him what he's doing based on what? Why is he showing it? Is it because Jesus is perfect and he's this perfect Son of God? Why? What? He loves him. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward right there. For the Father loves the Son. And now he's showing him all things that he's doing. Well, guess what? Guess what your inheritance is as a son or a daughter? You are now children of God. You are now sons and daughters, and God now loves you. And because of that, it's not based on anything that you accomplished in your life. It's based solely on the finished work of the cross. You are now loved as a son, as a daughter. And guess what? Because you're loved as a son and a daughter, God wants to show you what he's doing. He wants to work with you. He wants to co-labor with you to reconcile the world to himself based strictly on his love for you. Man, doesn't that just take the pressure off? It does for me, because a lot of times it's like, God, you know, when you get in a situation and this person is like, you kind of like feeling the Holy Spirit kind of like, Paul, you talk to this person. I internalize. I'm like, God, I didn't really spend that much time in prayer today. I didn't really like do, you know, I just yelled at my kids. Like, I can't minister out of this place. You know what I mean? But that just like completely trumps this. I don't have to be perfect. I just have to be loved. And God wants to show what he's doing. And he wants me to step out in faith and to do what he's doing and to say what he's saying. So Jesus had an open dialogue with the Father, and he was showing us how we can have that same intimate relationship with the Father. He was showing that we wouldn't be able to do the things he did without that relationship with the Father. Okay. So this dialogue is called the prophetic. We talk about it all the time. I'm like a broken record about the dialogue. Like, that's how we are supposed to live this life. That is relationship 101. Communication, the level of your communication that you have with somebody determines the level of relationship you have with somebody. If we call, oh, I've got this personal relationship with Jesus, but we don't have this open dialogue with them, how much do you really know the Lord? You know what I mean? I'm not saying that to bring any condemnation, but it's an invitation that we can have this open dialogue with the Father every day, wherever we're going. You can hear his voice, remember? Who remembers how we remember that we hear his voice no matter what the enemy tries to tell us? John 10:4, you do hear his voice. You are his sheep. You hear his voice. Period. Two things I want to cover about this, how God uses the prophetic to lead those who are ripe for the harvest, and also how God uses the prophetic to open people's heart to receive the message of the gospel. Okay? We're just going to go through this real quick and kind of solidify these ways that God is reaching out and reconciling the world through all of us, through this dialogue that we have with him. Okay? So let's turn to Acts 8:26. All right. So I'm going to read through this story. So you can read along or just kind of listen. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way. He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I said. He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So this story right here is an awesome story. You know, and this kind of like proves the point that like, you know, God is wanting to do this with us, in relationship with us, this reconciliation mission of ambassadorship, if that's even a word. Otherwise, you know, if we read early on here, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south. Why didn't God just send that angel to the eunuch and just be like, hey, eunuch, this is it. This is what you're reading right here. Here's the gospel. He wants to involve us. That's our calling. He wants to involve us. He wants to co-labor with us to share this message. And verse 34, this is really cool. So Philip is in this dialogue with the Holy Spirit, and he's like, he's in dialogue with an angel. An angel tells him to go, and he's like, okay, so he goes. And then he's in this dialogue with the Holy Spirit, you know, as we read right here. In verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. And that's all he said. The Holy Spirit's like, hey, go over here. Go stand next to this guy over here. And so Philip's like, okay, that's what you're doing. I'm going to do it. So he runs over there, and he's standing by there listening to this guy. And he's like, hey, do you understand what you're saying, what you're reading here? You know, it was kind of like a God moment. Has anybody ever experienced that before where you kind of felt this kind of, oh, maybe I should go over here And all of a sudden they're like talking about the Lord, or they're like, you know what I mean? That's happened many times with me. Okay. It's doing what we see him doing, right? And so, and then this is a really cool part of the scripture right here. In 34, it says, you know, they have this conversation, and the eunuch says to Philip, please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or someone else? And then verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. All right, key there. A lot of times you get before somebody and you kind of get in this situation where you're like, okay, this guy's got my attention, or this lady has got my attention, and we're talking about Jesus, or like I'm just being obedient to what the Holy Spirit's telling me to do. I don't really know what to do. But here's key. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth. He took a step of faith. He's like, okay, God's in this. He's going to give me the words. It might not be perfect. It might not be the most polished presentation of the gospel, but God's in it. And when God's in it, the power of the Holy Spirit will make it effective, and it will touch this person, and it will hopefully reconcile this person to the Lord. Has anybody been in that situation where it's like, ooh, I don't know what to say. Wow, this is awkward. Anybody ever been there? Evangelism, sometimes when you're stepping out like that, that's what it feels like, because you're operating in faith. Sometimes God only gives you little bits and pieces, right, in your dialogue. He just says, hey, go over here, and that's all he says. And so by faith, you take a step of faith. Okay, I'm going to go over here, God. All right, I'm over here. Now what? Oh, I hear this guy talking about this scripture that is clearly about Jesus. Hey, you know what you're talking about? You know what you're reading, you know? And the guy's like, how? I need somebody to tell me what I'm reading here. And sometimes we feel inadequate at that point of like, well, I didn't go get my, you know, go to seminary. It doesn't matter. Take that step of faith and watch the Holy Spirit just use you and reconcile this person through you. It's a Holy Spirit trusting supernatural experience. It's happened many times. Because many times I felt inadequate. God always puts us in that place of weakness to like see his power come out. Because in that place of weakness, it's like that's when we're actually dependent on him and we're actually allow him to flow through us. Because a lot of times if we're confident in our own stuff, we're just kind of, oh, I got this. And then we get it real polished, and we get the gospel, and we do the whatever, all the five steps of salvation or the Roman road or all these things. And the guy's just kind of like, okay, thanks, see you later. You know, there's no power in it. There's no Holy Spirit co-laboring with the Lord. God wants us to co-labor with him. He wants us to do this with him. It's so much better when we do it with him. Because we see the things that Jesus did, and even greater things, you know? Okay, so let's open our mouth, take that step of faith. I thought that was so funny. We're like, Lord, why'd you put that in scripture? Philip opened his mouth, and then he just started talking, you know? Anyway, man, this is really cool. And beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Nothing else, just this is Jesus right here. This is Jesus. He's that lamb. He was led to the slaughter. This is Jesus. That's awesome. So God uses the prophetic to lead us to people that are ripe for the harvest. This eunuch was ripe. He was ready to receive the gospel. You know, God knows that. We don't know that. A lot of times we're just like walking around. We are so clueless, and there's like so many people around us. God knows, though, who is ripe, who is ready to receive the gospel message. And we're only going to find that out in this dialogue with him, in this intimate relationship that we have with him. Right? I want that intel, don't you? I want that special op intel, Holy Spirit special op intel. Because that's how Jesus did it. That's how I want to do it. So anyway, I got a cool story about this. We a while back, we used to do these things called treasure hunts. Everybody heard about treasure hunt? Yeah. Where if you don't know what treasure hunt is, you know, we just got together, a group of us got together, and we're like, hey, let's just do this. Let's just see what's on God's heart. Let's see who God is thinking about right now. Who is on the heart of the Father? And what does God want to do? So we would just pray, and we asked these simple questions. We literally had this sheet, and we said, okay, where's this person? What is their name? What does God want to do? And we just sit and we just pray and we just listen. We'd have that dialogue with the Father. We just listen. And if you guys want to know more about like that dialogue and prophetic training, we got the whole podcast. Simply puts how we hear God's voice, because you all can hear God's voice in the same way. So I'm praying like, Lord, who's this person? Who's on your heart? Who are you wanting to reconcile to yourself today? So the first thing that popped in my mind was Steve. It's like, okay, Steve. And at this point, I've learned not to question it. I just write it down. Okay, Steve, you know, because you can go in that battle in your mind. Was that Lord? Was that you? Was that the enemy? Was that me? Did I just make that up? Because my mind is still asking those questions during this. I'm just like, shut up, Steve, you know? And then I was like, okay, Lord, where is he at? And I saw this picture of a Hardee's sign. I was like, okay, Hardee's. I wrote down Hardee's. And I was like, okay, Lord, what is on your heart? What are you doing right now for this person? And I saw a picture of a heart. That's it. I was like, okay, your heart. That's all I got. I was like, Lord, anything more? Come on, help me out here. No, that's all I got. Heart. So, all right, heart. And then so we got in the car. And we drove down to the Hardee's. It's closed now, right next to the UNCW. And it was like three of us. We were just kind of like, okay. And we walk into the Hardee's, and there was like two people in Hardee's. We were like, oh my gosh. What are the chances this guy's name is going to be Steve, you know? So we go in, and like, I'm telling you, I bet Philip felt the same way. Just kind of like, okay, Lord, all right, I'm going to go over here, you know? And just kind of like, hey, is your name Steve? You know, kind of thing. And the guy's like, yeah, my name's Steve. I was kind of like, what? Oh my gosh. I was at that point, like Philip, like, all right, I just got to open my mouth, you know, because I was shocked, just as shocked as that guy. I was like, hey, how do you know who I am? Like, how do you know my name? Who are you? You know, he's kind of like suspicious, actually. And I was like, oh, no, I'm Christian. And, you know, God the Father is like, thinking about you right now. And he told us to get in the car, drive over here, because he's doing something with your heart. He wants to heal your heart in some way. And the guy was like, no way. He's like, I've just got a defibrillator implanted, you know, in his chest or whatever. I didn't even know what defibrillator was. I was like, okay, cool. You know, can we pray for you? Can we pray for your heart? He's like, yeah. And we just prayed for him. And man, the presence of God just fell on this guy. And like, he was so encouraged. I was benefiting from it because I could feel the Holy Spirit in me reaching out to this guy, reconciling this guy. His love. I felt so much love for this guy after I got done praying for him. I didn't even know who this guy was. I just know his name was Steve. You know what I mean? He had a heart problem. But like the whole time, you know, it was a little awkward, obviously, because you're just kind of like, hey, how you doing, you know? And, you know, you get better at it as you do it, you know, but, like, it's still a little scary. It always is. But that's okay. It takes faith. This walk we're walking is in faith, right? And God, but it was so cool because I felt so privileged for God to share a secret that was on his heart, that he loved this guy, Steve, sitting in the Hardee's, and that he wanted to touch and heal his heart. And we talked about Jesus with the guy. And the guy was like, he was just like, you know, this is cool. You know, it was awesome. We were probably more pumped up than the guy was. You know what I mean? Like, we left that place. We're like, we're going to take over the world. You know? I mean, that's what you feel like when you see God do something so crazy, so supernatural, you know? So impossible, but nothing's impossible with him, right? So number two, let's move on here. The prophetic opens people's heart to receive the message of the gospel. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14:24. 14:24 says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Now, this is in the context, actually, of a church service Paul's addressing here. But this is applicable. This is like a result of the prophetic. Prophecy exposes the things of the heart. You know, the Holy Spirit is reconciling the world using the prophetic gift. He just is. Jesus did it. We do, we could talk about it more in John 4, but, well, let's just talk about it a little bit, John 4. Jesus did this. We saw, this is a perfect example of how when he spoke the prophetic word, that like all of a sudden, the heart just opened up. And this person was like listening. This person their attention was on what that person had to say, you know? Let's do it. Let's turn to John 4. So let's just start where Jesus starts operating the prophetic. This is verse 15. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, this living water that he just said, that she'll never be thirsty. So I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. The fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And then Jesus kind of broke it down. "You will worship in spirit and truth. We will no longer be going anywhere." And the woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will declare all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went to the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" Then they went out to the city and were coming to him. And then as we read further on, Jesus spent time with them there and they all came to believe. So this word of knowledge that Jesus gave this woman, all of a sudden, it just kind of like opened her up to receive this message of the gospel that he is the Messiah. He is, as we find out, even the Samaritans, and they said, isn't this the Savior of the world? You know, they understood this even before the Jews did. The prophetic word, it's like, if you think about it, it's like, whenever I've received a prophetic word, I don't know if you guys experience this yourself, whenever I receive a prophetic word, there's this experience of like, whoa, like the God of the universe is actually thinking about me. He actually knows where I am. He knows who I am. And he wants to reach out to me. It's like all of a sudden you just kind of like, whoa, I'm listening. What else you got to say? You have this relationship with God? Cool. What else is he saying? You know? The prophetic does this. It like opens that person's heart to receive the message. Because most of the time when you go up to somebody, how many of you experienced this? Ever done, like, anybody here done tracks? Like, hand out tracks and stuff? Yeah. I've never done that, actually. But I've heard stories about it, how just like people are just kind of rude and just kind of, I don't want your, it's like closed. People are like so closed. Our society is kind of like that. We're so untrusting of people, you know what I mean? And, or even when you kind of just go up to somebody and just kind of like cold, "Hey, you know anything about Jesus? What do you think about?" You know, sometimes that like God uses that. And, you know, and we need to do that, you know. It's biblical. But at the same time, we also should be doing it in that dialogue with the Lord, because God knows what's going to open this person's heart to be able to receive this message of the gospel. Because when you give them that prophetic word, this like their heart opens up. There's like this trust that's being built, and they're able to receive. "Hey, you do know something. Okay, I can kind of trust what you have to say." Does that make sense? But anyway, like I had this one time, my buddy and I, we were in the Waffle House. I see this constantly. That's why like I do it all the time. Like, Lord, give me a word for this person, because like this is going to be really awkward if I go up there and talk to them and just say, hey, what do you think about Jesus? Or, you know, and you know, there's always still that kind of like, oh, that fear of being rejected, you know. But if you get a word for that person, it's kind of like a little bit easier. Like, okay, cool. All right. This might open up their heart to receive what, you know, the love that God has for them, the message of the gospel. And I remember one time me and my buddy, we were sitting at the Waffle House, and our waitress was coming up to us, and I just kept feeling this nudge about like, the, you know, it's that Holy Spirit kind of nudge. Just like, hey, I'm reaching out to this person. You know, I kind of recognize it by now. I'm just like, okay, Lord, but I want to have my waffles here. Like, can we do this after, you know? And, but no, he was like, yeah, I guess kept feeling it, you know? And I was like, okay, Lord, what are you saying right now? It's just that whole Jesus model. What are you doing? What are you saying right now? And I just all of a sudden just got this thing. Like, I wasn't trying. I just got this thing in my, this thought in my head just kind of popped in my head of like, this, your waitress, she had dedicated, she had given her life at an early age, and something took place in her life that drew her away from him. And she's not walking with me anymore, but I am longing to be in relationship with her. It's like, okay, God. So, you know, she's kind of taking our order. And I'm like, hey, you know, I'm a Christian. And, you know, and I just kind of shared with her, you know, that, hey, the Lord just showed me that you had given your life to him at an early age, and he just loves you and he misses you, that something in your life had kind of had pulled you away from him and separated your relationship with him, and you're not walking with him like you want to be walking with him anymore. And she's like, yeah. She just said, yeah. I mean, I was like, whoa, okay, cool. Yeah, hey. This is, you know, because, you know, this is all in faith, you know what I mean? And I was like, okay, all right, well, and I just kind of shared with her a little bit more. I just opened my mouth, and stuff started coming out, you know, like stuff coming, like, you know, I mean, just sharing how like the Lord loved her and he was missing her, and he's like reaching out to her, and that that if she wanted, she could, like, that he's wanting her to rededicate her life right there. And she's like, yeah, I want to do it. I mean, we're standing, you know how at Waffle House, we're in your booth. She's kind of standing in the behind the line. And I think people are kind of looking at us at this time, at this point, you know what I mean? But she was just, she didn't care. She was like, her heart was wide open, you know? And this is a complete stranger. And I was like, okay, well, let's pray. And we just prayed. And like, she gave her life back to the Lord. And it was awesome. And she was just like, you know, it was crazy in a Waffle House, you know, just hanging out, eating my waffles, and, you know, but that's how God's operating within us. That's what he wants to do. He's not waiting for ministry to happen on Sunday morning within inside of a church. Now, he does that, and it's awesome, and we were going to continue to do that, but he wants to use us, not like wherever he's planted you, Armando, at UNCW, all the people around you, he's planted you there strategically because he wants to co-labor with you to reach and reconcile the people that are around you, you know, in everyday life. It's not just kind of like this planned outing. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go evangelize. Yeah. Now, we do that, and we're going to continue to do that because it's biblical. Jesus sent out the 72, you know, like, we're going to continue to do that. But also there's that, and then there's also the people that he's placed around you, or the people that you have random contact, random interactions with in life. You're going to Walmart. Everybody loves the Walmart stories. Walmart's a tough place, but cool stuff's happened in Walmart. This Walmart up here, the ghetto Walmart right up here, there's cool stuff's happened up there. I'll tell you that. Some stuff has not happened very well up there too. Because, you know, we tell our success stories, but there have been many times where the people just kind of like look at you and just kind of like don't even say a word. And you're just like, okay, nice meeting you. See, and you like walk off. Hey, that stuff's gonna happen. It's real life. But Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, just wipe the dust off your feet and keep on going, right? You know, and not everything is like super dramatic. Sometimes it's just kind of like, you know, I don't know. You like the Lord tells you to go over there and help some old lady get her bags into her car. And then that act of service, that act of kindness, if that you see the Holy Spirit doing that, that might open up her heart to receive whatever the Lord's doing. You know, sometimes we kind of focus on, oh, we got this crazy work. But God does operate in those crazy ways, and he wants us to work and operate in those dramatic, supernatural ways, because the gospel was followed by signs, wonders, and miracles. They go hand in hand. They just do. You can't separate the two. We worship and we serve a supernatural God. And if you get in relationship with the supernatural God, you're going to see the supernatural come out. It's just a byproduct of being in intimate relationship with the supernatural being. Is that cool? So two things, just review real quick. Do you guys remember, what are the two things that the prophetic does? And there's probably tons more, but I'm just covering two right now. What are the two things that the prophetic does with evangelism? Opens people's hearts to the gospel, to the message, yeah. And number two, it leads us, God's leading us to those that are ripe, that are ready to hear. Now, they might not, like, what time we got? I got another story. This is kind of like, this is a bizarre story. Like, I'll save it for another time. Because not all the time, like, you see something supernatural take place, and that person actually even receives the gospel. You know, I've had that happen. I've seen people get healed, like dramatically healed, and when I share the gospel with them, they're like, I don't know if I'm ready. I'm kind of like, dude, you just got healed right here. Like, the Lord just touched your body and healed you, you know. Anyway, but that's okay. I guarantee you, those people will never forget those things that are happening. God sometimes is planting seeds when we're reaching out, when we're operating, we're doing what we see him doing. And we're saying what we hear him saying. Sometimes we're just planting seed. Does that make sense? Sometimes we're watering a seed that somebody had already been planting. We don't have time. I want to wrap this up, but we'll continue talking about this. But like, just to encourage you guys that This is really, I mean, the leadership team, we get together every Monday and we pray and we ask, you know, Lord, what's on your heart? We're doing the same thing. You know, we're like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying right now for our body? And we were going to actually move into teaching about healing, have a series of healing, but Travis was really feeling, and we all were feeling that, you know, the evangelism, theme is what the Holy Spirit's doing. And we really feel like God's given us a message about evangelism that's effective and biblical. And I want to encourage you guys. We're going to pray and I'll let you guys head out to the beach. Let's pray. Lord, this is our heart's desire. Lord, you want us, first and foremost, you want us in intimate fellowship and relationship with you. Lord, that is our heart. Lord, we want to have that open dialogue with you. We want to see what you're doing. We want to hear what you're saying. We want to hear the secrets of our Father, Lord. Because, Lord, we want to just experience the love and the compassion that you have for those that you've planted around us. And I just pray, Lord, that this week, that, Lord, that you would just, that dialogue would just open up even more, Lord. You just teach us to hear, to recognize your voice, to recognize what you're doing. I pray this week, Lord, that our coworkers, Lord, that you want us to reach out to, that are ripe for the harvest, or they're ripe for the watering or the planting of the seed, Lord, that you would just highlight them to us. Give us words for them. Show us what you're doing, because, Lord, we want to do what you're doing. We want to say what you're saying. And we want to do this with you, in this intimate relationship with you, Lord. So, Lord, open our ears, our spiritual ears. Open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, even more to see and to hear what you're doing. And, Lord, give us love and compassion and help us to experience that spirit of reconciliation that you have for your kids out that we are among. In Jesus' name, amen.